Good afternoon, Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart along with Randy Conan and Megan Turnquist. Rain showers and thunderstorms are in the weekend forecast for the Northern Plains. According to World Weather Incorporated, some insignificant rain is in the forecast today with greater widespread activity Saturday through Sunday. Moisture totals will vary from half an inch to 1.5 inches in the western Dakotas and a trace up to a half an inch elsewhere. Mostly dry conditions are expected to return next Monday through Wednesday. World Weather says temperatures will be mostly in the 70s and 80s today and into the 60s and 70s by Sunday.
Cullum, North Dakota farmer Bart Schatz, hopeful to make more planting progress, but the weekend weather may change that. The only field work that can be done is on tiled ground or prevent plant ground.
So we've been kind of switching back and forth. We don't have any small grains in yet because we just don't have the right, the right field to seed them on. So we'll see. Hopefully that 80% chance of rain on Saturday doesn't materialize.
Schott is busy planting corn and soybeans, but at the same time hasn't got much of his 2019 corn harvested.
Well, our roads are real bad now. The corn, I think, is okay, but the roads are bad. So we were going to plant about half the corn acres we had in 2019. Now we'll be lucky to get much more than 10, maybe 20% of the acres we were planning on this winter. So we'll be, our farm will be way off on corn acres for 2020.
Cheyenne, a North Dakota farmer, Mark Seastrand, hopes to put the first of this year's crop in the ground today. This late in the planting season, Seastrand may bypass seeding any barley this year.
To get a good crop of malt barley, you need to get it in the ground early. And right now we're about a month later than what we'd like to be. It's still possible. I wouldn't give up on the crop, but I'm not as excited about planting it right now. In fact, I'm going to probably be starting out with soybeans because right now we can plant soybeans on a timely fashion and try to get a good crop and come back to the ground that we normally would plant barley on, which tends to be a little wetter. And hopefully it'll dry out in the next several days. And hopefully the rains miss us this weekend.
Seastrand also has a portion of the 2019 soybean crop to harvest yet this spring. On a positive note, the warm temperatures and wind have helped dry out fields in the area this week.
The wind's been blowing day and night for the last 4 or 5 days, so it's really done a lot to dry it out. I don't think we could have asked for better weather except maybe to have had more heat with it. But still, there was a lot of moisture that we had to get rid of. There's standing water where we've never had this kind of standing water before. And, well, I shouldn't say that. We can go back to 93 and in 2000. We were wet. But it is extremely wet, and there's a lot of people that are frustrated right now.
Rolla, North Dakota farmer Doyle Lentz is making planting progress. Lentz says field conditions in the north central part of the state have been terrible this spring. However, this week is providing much needed drying weather.
You know, the canola ground from last year is pretty good, so we're able to work on that a little bit. The bean stubble from last year is terrible. It's just like a mat and it's a big sponge. So we're having a hard time with that. Fortunately, we got a couple thousand acres of stubble dug last fall, and that's pretty good. So we've been actually, we did a couple hundred acres of barley just to, because we want to get some barley in, and then we switched back to beans actually, and we're able to go on them. So we're kind of doing what, you know, what we can.
Lentz expects soybeans and oilseed acres to increase in the Rolla area because of the late start to planting. Corn acres will be few and far between.
This never was much of a corn acre up here along the Canadian border, so just a field here and there, and I don't really know. I haven't seen any planters going, so I'm kind of assuming those guys are holding off on that or maybe take a year off given how everything went last year. Otherwise, I just think it's kind of, you know, you just kind of find a field and beat it into shape and try to get something planted. You know, we'll go as long as we dare. We got a couple hundred acres of wheat that we didn't get harvested last year, and I'm not sure we're going to be able to get into that. Given that we're going so slow on everything else and kind of lose all your efficiency when you're changing seed all the time.
CHS Ag Services, Stephen, Minnesota location manager Kyle Petoszewski says planting is winding down.
Better. We're kind of dealing more with flood ground where the water's receded now and the ground's finally shaping up. So it seems to be it's usually coming to an end when we get the flood ground covered and worked and get that seeded. It seems like most of the frost boils east of town are manageable now anyways.
China has been under fire by many nations for its handling of the coronavirus pandemic. Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting President Mike Zuzulo thinks China will use the economic chaos to try to influence the U.S. presidential election.
They realize that the tariffs have done an enormous amount of damage to their economy in the long term and really set them back, and they realize that a second term by President Trump will probably mean that they're going to be in his crosshairs again from a trade and foreign policy standpoint. And so this is a fight that if I were sitting across the table from the president giving him my recommendation, would be don't pick this fight right now. Wait until you secure your second term, because it's going to take a while to work through all this, and you have someone that probably it's in their interest to not see you reelected.
Zuzulo says China's move on Hong Kong was not expected.
Don't be surprised if something would happen with Taiwan or with Hong Kong between now and November, because that's where the chess pieces are most likely to be moved by China to give President Trump a COVID issue, a domestic economy issue, and then maybe a foreign policy issue to boot that he's going to have to work through as we all go to the polls.
USDA's National Ag Statistics Service says total red meat in freezers as of April 30th was down 1% from the previous month, but 5% more than last year. Total pounds of beef in the nation's freezers was down 2% from the end of March, but 14% more than a year ago. Frozen pork supplies were down slightly from the April report and 1% less than last year. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Zahner Group Ag Hedge Lead Ted Seifried says traders are pulling money off the table ahead of the holiday weekend as trade concerns over China increase.
Tensions between the U.S. and China seem to continue to escalate. Hong Kong is now being brought into the mix, so you know that is a very hot button for China. We know that. So we're worried about trade, and you know you can see it happening in the crude oil market. You can see it happening really across commodities. So, you know, just another fly in the ointment.
And it's been a choppy week for livestock.
It's really felt like a holiday week as far as volume is concerned in a lot of places, and livestock is definitely one of them. You know, feeder cattle up marginally while live cattle are down just very slightly. But we've really been treading water here this week for cattle. I don't remember any limit moves, which I feel like it's the first time in a long time that we didn't see any limit moves in the cattle or I think all of the livestock. So we are consolidating up here. We have seen our kill capacity expand maybe more than what most people were expecting. A lot of that is being driven by the really aggressive packers margins, record packers margins that we've seen. I think that will continue to happen, and domestic demand stays strong.
U.S. milk output is rising and may continue to do so into next year. In April, U.S. milk production rose 1.4% compared to 1 year ago. World Outlook Board Chairman Mark Jekanowski explains.
We expect production to continue to increase into 2021. In 2021, we expect that to hit about 224.1 billion pounds, given the return to more normal demand conditions.
There is at least one bright spot in the dairy industry right now, with export demand for U.S. skim milk powder increasing.
Our export demand for skim milk powder has been strong. Yes, we actually increased our export forecast a bit for that this month, and we anticipate production and exports to also increase into 2021. So that's a bit of a bright spot for the dairy industry right now.
The details of direct payments in the coronavirus food assistance program are generating some buzz in farm country ahead of the May 26th sign-up. Texas A&M University Agricultural and Food Policy Center co-director Bart Fisher says the USDA still needs to provide clarification on a few details, including the definition of unpriced inventory.
That definition also includes a few other catch-all terms, and so it's left producers really wondering of, okay, well, if I've got a futures contract, if I'm hedging in some way, or if I've got a basis contract, for example, where does that leave? I know that's a question a lot of folks are asking, and our expectation is that USDA is going to put out additional detail on how those individual contracts would be handled. But you know, at this point in time, it looks like they're really trying to get to those situations where the price risk has been removed. And so on a lot of those hedging, you know, hedging instruments that producers would use, they're still subject to price risk. And I think the expectation is that they would be eligible, but ultimately USDA will kind of be the final arbiter on that.
In the livestock portion of the program, Fisher says there is a red flag for slaughter weight in cattle.
In the rule of 1,400-pound threshold, you know, in the northern part of the United States, certainly in the listening area there for the network, that may not be as big of a deal because typically the slaughter weight animals are a little heavier in the north. So it ended up being more of an issue, I think, in the southern plains, but we're getting indications that USDA is going back and revisiting that threshold, but there really was an intent to have a hard line at that 1,400 pounds. And so it looks like they may be going back and revising that and adding some.
Fisher authored analysis of the program. Take a closer look at that and learn more about these direct payments at rrfn.com.
The Minnesota State Fair has been canceled due to COVID-19 and social distancing practices. State Fair General Manager Jerry Hammer says the decision was complex and difficult.
We don't know what it's going to be like in August. Nobody does. And we're all hoping to turn a corner here real quick. But even in the best case scenario, the science shows us that by the end of August, at best, we'll be taking pretty slow steps in terms of getting back together and getting into mass gatherings. And that's not good enough for full speed run like the State Fair Marathon is. And what would need to happen here in that very short amount of time just, again, is really not the fair, and it's not something that we can do. It's not possible.
More than 2 million people attend Minnesota State Fair each year. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture here on the Red River Farm Network. Joining us, we have Ag Week reporter Noah Fish. Noah, what's on the cover of Ag Week for next week?
So this week we have a story about the part of the coronavirus food assistance program to the USDA, which is the Farmers to Families Food Box program. We took a look at a couple companies that are getting money from the USDA to produce these boxes, and operations at both plants for WG Provisions in Iowa were suspended before this, and they say this program is bringing their company back to life. They are going to get $5.4 million to produce these boxes, a certain number of these boxes, and actually that number is, let me see here, 10,200 boxes that they're going to produce, and those boxes are then going to be distributed to food banks and food shelves to feed people in need.
What kind of a demand is out there for these boxes?
Well, a lot. I've talked to some food shelves, all food shelves are seeing more of a demand for people need food right now, more people than ever. So I think there's a high demand.
Did anything surprise you in your research for this article?
Well, we were just kind of surprised at the beginning. At the scale of it, a lot of money went to these meat processing companies. It's not just meat processing companies, it's also dairy and produce too. But it's, yeah, there's a lot of impact because of the money involved. And especially for a smaller operation like WG Provisions, they have about 60 employees. This was kind of the impetus for them to start working again in their plants.
Well, it sounds interesting, Noah. Looking forward to reading about it in next week's Ag Week. Taking a look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon. July Minneapolis wheat down 4 at 514. July Chicago wheat down 5 3/4 at 510 1/4. July Kansas City wheat down 8. July corn up 3/4 at 318 1/2. December corn up a half at 333 1/2. July beans down 1 at 834. November beans down a half at 845. In livestock markets, June live cattle down $1.30 at $97.50. August feeder cattle up 5 cents at $128.95. October up 40 cents. June lean hogs down 55 cents at $58.80. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend. This is the Red River Farm Network.